Hello and a very warm welcome to Section D. On today's show, we lend our ears to some of the world's top designers who were in attendance at the Milan Furniture Fair. That heady, messy behemoth of a party for the design industry, which concluded last week.
I think that the furniture industry is running too fast and trying to follow the fashion industry, and I think that it's a big crime and a big mistake that probably in a few years from now will have to change.
We talk tactility and materials with Naoto Fukasawa, Salone's Allure with Jasper Morrison, and pull up a seat with designer Ron Gillad, and the always ebullient Patricia Urquiola. All that to come, plus a rundown of the trends, markets, and emerging designers to watch right here on Section D, Monocle 24's dedicated design show. And I'm joined now in studio by Monocle's Jamie Waters, who attended Salone del Mobile with me. Jamie, you've got huge bags under your eyes. Your hairline's receded a little bit. Was it as hard as everyone thinks it is to cover probably the world's biggest fashion fair?
I'm not going to lie. It was somewhat overwhelming. I had been warned before I went, but I don't think anything can quite prepare you for the 2 kilometre long halls of the Rho Fiera fairgrounds. But it is sort of as exciting as it is intense.
And we've got a huge amount of interviews lined up from different perspectives in the industry, from Milanese designers to basically some of the biggest talents in the industry. But we thought for our listeners, we should pick out a few of the trends and a few of the things we noticed. Maybe can I start with one and then I'll throw to you? You can do it.
Absolutely.
One thing I really noticed was a lot of confidence from the European markets. I think the economic slowdown in China left a few people wondering, you know, where the money was going to come from, who was going to reach into their wallets. I haven't seen the attendance figures the final attendance figures yet, but I think there was a real palpable, ebullient mood in the European buyers and also the European exhibitors. What do you think to that?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, in terms of the overall attendance figures, the figures show that they were up 4% from 2 years ago, which is when it was the last Euro Cucina, so the kitchen special. That's how they tend to measure them. So it was definitely a success this year. There are a lot of Europeans. I noticed that as well in terms of the designers, particularly I thought Northern Europe. I think there are a lot of Scandinavian. Some of my favourite pieces were from a couple of Danish designers. But yeah, definitely a strong showing from Scandinavians. There were, of course, Japanese designers, and those sort of countries were representing as you would tend to expect.
Another thing I noticed in the halls of the Fiera, obviously it's divided between the city itself, where there are a number of design districts, which we'll move on to in a second, and the Fiera itself, the big kind of messy trade show. But a lot of people were visiting for the first time and foregoing a position at IMM Cologne, at Maison et Objet, at Stockholm Design Week, in favour of just showing in Milan. And I think that really is the litmus test for the confidence of the market. And Milan is definitely, in that sense, on the upswing. But outside the Fiera, were there any areas that you thought captured your imagination?
Yeah, the Cinquevi area, which is sort of Milan's oldest district, and that's very much on the up. I think they've been on the official calendar for, this is their third year. And all the chatter, especially Italians and Milanese people who I spoke to, they were like, Cinquevi, that's where sort of where everything's at. And because it's quite new on the Salone calendar, it's not as touristy, it's a little bit more undiscovered. There were some great exhibitions there that sort of opened the doors to these amazing old palazzos. And I think there was one in particular, which was called A Matter of Perception. And it was in this old kind of Baroque Palazzo Litta. And they're just a really strong collection of both technology savvy and quite traditional designers. I think Punkt had done a collaboration with ECAL, the Lausanne-based university. I didn't get as much of a chance to check out the exhibition as you did. I think you managed to explore some more of the rooms in that exhibition.
I agree. I mean, Cinquevi did what Milan does at its best. An age-old setting, a fair amount of grandeur with interestingly curated new designs on show. Well, thank you very much for joining me in studio. Monocle's Jamie Waters there. But now we head to the fair. Milan may attract the world's press, a party set, and the furniture industry's biggest names. But sometimes a homegrown perspective can help make sense of the melee. To seek out one such opinion, I sat down with Milan-based architect and designer Piero Lissoni on one of his new designs for Cassina, no less, to ask about the importance of Salone to those who call the city that hosts it home.
I started to work for Cassina in 1996. It was my first experience with them, and we designed together first one bed, and after that I designed for them the second product design, it was the mat system. It's a sofa system. And one by one by one by one, now we are in 2016.
Casino are obviously an enormous company, but we just heard a little show where they expressed how they love supporting young designers and they love also keeping with the same designers who do a great job for them. How important are companies like Casino for supporting people like yourself? I know you've worked with Boffy and all manner of other companies, but what's it like to be supported by a big company like this?
Think about the future. It's in the end of the young generations. If you don't grow, if you don't believe, if you don't take a risk to discover, to achieve, to try, no future for anybody, not for the young generation and no future for the factories. That, I think, is the secret of Casino. It's one of the secrets for the Italian companies.
And you yourself are an Italian company. How important is it to come to Salone? It's only down the road for you, but people come from all over the world to see your designs. And I know you're modest, but your name is everywhere. How important is it for designers to be here, to meet the press, to meet the buyers, and to be part of the whole kind of fiera experience?
Listen, the Salone del Mobile, not only in the fair, but the Salone del Mobile is for me the fair and the life outside in town. It's for me very easy to understand, but at the same time, I suggest for everybody, for a week, is the most important university in the world. You discover a lot of different thoughts, you learn a lot. Like in university, you know, you learn qualities, light, fashion, finishing, surfaces, new spaces, new volumes. It's like 1 week, fully booked, completely for informations, and it's like the super master in university.
And over the past 5 years, technology has changed a lot of the way that the furniture industry works, whether that's new materials or even the fact that the press, you know, can take a photograph and it goes around the world. Are you worried about Italian manufacturing when some people do use the fair to take pictures and to copy things, to reproduce them in China? Do you worry about Milan staying on top when it comes to furniture manufacturing, or do you think there's a bright future?
Listen, we don't know the future really, and we don't know the real aspect, what happened in the future. I know now the technologies is anyway a tool, or if you like a collection, it's a huge collection of tools. But if you don't know the process, if you don't know the real thickness of the soul inside in the different factories, it's possible only to copy. But after one copy, you have to continue to copy, and again and again. If you don't design by yourself, process, mentality, knowledge, culture, continuity, you know, again, the technology, it's only a tool.
And we're sitting on top of a piece of very technologically advanced furniture that you've manufactured. What was the inspiration behind this sofa collection that we can see here?
Listen, it's a sofa, and sometimes put inside technologies in a sofa, it's a really heavy work. And to be creative when you design something is not to be strange, is not to be exaggerated, is not to be different. Sometimes it's to be silent. And when you try to be really silent, believe, it's one of the most difficult work in the world. Sometimes I think to be simple. I like to become simple, but at the same time, simplicity is for me the public face of the real, real level of complexity.
Architect and designer Piero Lissoni speaking to me there from Hall 20 at the Fiera at this year's Salone del Mobile. Next up, I stopped by at Italian furniture firm Moroso to hear from designer Patricia Urchiola about her latest collection.
When you are having a long relation with someone, he's like a gardener, you know. There are some plants that you put the seeds, you know, a long time ago. And you are waiting and you even forget because you are taking care of a new plant or something else. And then those seeds, they come out and naturally, the process goes on. I'm very happy of this thing with Patricia.
And I see a lot of neutral colours when I'm walking around. I see a lot of Scandinavian pared-back designs. You've played with colours here. There's a huge amount of, we can see around us, purples, greys, pinks, whites. You know, how important is colour to your work?
Well, I think what is important that I don't have any kind of chromophobia. You know, there is the book, fantastic, about this argument. I don't have it. Then if the white canvas of someone in front of me, because the argument is with whom you are working and what is the intent or the manifesto you are doing in this moment. Patricia. She's a woman that the white canvas, one day a red, or can be any color, because she has a white canvas very with a large spectrum of colors. Then my white is open too. Then this time we always have a conversation about which are the products she has, and what are the colors she's using in fabrics and materials, and what could be an ambience to embrace all this concept. And then came out those spaces, very clean in a certain way, but the color for me is a neutral canvas in Patricia Moroso.
And you're from Oviedo originally, but you live and work in Milan. How important is Salone del Mobile for meeting people, for doing interviews, for getting inspiration? Do you get a chance to look around, or is this just about the selling and the showing of products for you? How important is Milano?
You know, I born in Asturias. I am Spanish, but I think I arrived here very young. I finished my studies in architecture here. As a professionalist, I am absolutely Milanese. There are more than 30 years I'm here. Then I just oppose both. I think I hope the best of the two countries, and I try to work on that, and I try to have my local values. I go always inside my work. But Salone, what means? Till I was very young, was an amazing thing in the city. And then my first job was in the Padova. The company, you remember, was in the middle of the city. And we were doing the Salone, 40 Salone, you know. And then more or less the fourth day, we could go to see the Salone. Then it was very interesting, this idea in relation in inside, outside, how Salone involved the city. It's been something that has been very, very interesting. In that period, for example, even B&B didn't have the showroom. It was only some things that internally understood, I think, in that moment. But there were galleries, people, and bit by bit these things were growing. But Maddalena de Padova was already from always, doing Salone from outside. But I think Salone for us is a kind of the end of the year. It's a moment of finding people, putting yourself in relation with others, but with your friends, with the critics, with showing yourself, seeing what the others show, and still being the place. And we have to be very proud, if I'm being Milanese about that, and we have to defend it and try to be very critical and open to make them the organization. I could always to understand how we can flow and we can grow, or we can understand which are the little limits we have always.
That was Patricia Urquiola speaking with me last week at the Moroso stand at Salone del Mobile. Still to come on this Milan Furniture Fair themed show, we talk technology and materials with Ron Gillad and Naoto Fukasawa, and catch up with the prolific British designer Jasper Morrison. Don't go away.
How do you write a biography? Are we all curators today? Who still makes fanzines? And how close are fact and fiction? These are some of the questions constantly puzzling us here at Monocle. So each week on our culture show, we spin the globe to find the very best writers, musicians, artists, gallerists, filmmakers, commentators, and even mudlarks to debunk these cultural mysteries. Tune in to Culture with me, Robert Bound, every Monday at 1900 UK time, where all will be revealed.
Although the fairgrounds north of Milan hold the preponderance of the 300,000 visitors and 2,000 plus exhibitors, plenty of brands opt for exhibitions in many of the city's design districts. Thai firm Geolux chose wisely and showed off in a beautiful berth on Via Fazona in the Tortona design district. Geolux put on an installation designed to showcase its new technology, a marble-like material with sustainable chops and plenty of potential applications. I spoke to the Japanese designer Naoto Fukasawa, the man behind the exhibition, to find out more.
That is a very interesting material, 100% mineral-based. Very interesting material. It's artificial marble, and the size is huge. And when I saw this material, I got an impression, that can be making for the big sculpture. And one is show the people very thin and large. The other one is maybe the thin material back to the stone, like a kind of massive rock, you know. So that's a kind of an interesting idea, because it's impossible to make kind of this kind of installation by the real material, real marble.
And when I look at the surface of the stone, it has some of the imperfection and the nuance of proper aged marble because of the way that they create it. But you say it has different properties to normal stone?
I think they want to try to be the real, but we cannot use a real stone because of environmental issues, you know. So that's why we have to create something like the same precious material, but it's based from other material to use for our life, you know, like a kitchen counters or wall or a bathroom or whatever. So I think it's not the fake of the stone, but it's more than that.
And when Geolukes came to you, they said, you can do whatever you want, but you've assembled it in these, at the far end of the room, we can see two stone-like monoliths. Closer to us, we can see a sort of more geometric arrangement. What's the thought process behind these forms?
The farther one is like a rock. It's totally look like a pure sculpture. But this one looks like a kitchen counter. So I have to show people both the possibility of just the nature rock and more kind of material for use as kitchen or others.
And the last question, what are you looking forward to most at Milan? Is it a drink at the end of the day when you get to relax, or is it a particular exhibition or a show? What do you like about being here?
I have another 6 or 7 show in this week. And I'm busy for getting an interview from the people. I have no time to see other exhibition too. So, but that is normal in this 15 years I have done.
Naoto Fukasawa there, speaking to me from his exhibition on Via Savona for the Thai firm Geolukes. Next, and back within the busy halls of the Fiera itself, Monocle's Chiara Ramella caught up with Ron Gilad to grill the Tel Aviv-born designer about how the industry is changing.
I think that we are going down the wrong road, and I think that it doesn't make sense to innovate and to create a good project, and I'm not talking about a dress, in such a short time of 1 year. I think that, for instance, the lighting industry is very lucky because they have 1 year gap between each presentation. So it gives you a little bit more of oxygen in order to breathe and to innovate. I think that the furniture industry is running too fast and trying to follow the fashion industry. And I think that it's a big crime and a big mistake that probably in a few years from now, something will have to change.
A lot of designers find they collaborate with big brands because they have the amazing structure to be able to accommodate all these great creative minds. Mm-hmm. Do you enjoy working with such established brands such as Casina, such as Alias? Mm-hmm. Do you sometimes find a time to kind of do slightly smaller, more personal projects as well? Or how do you enjoy the relationship with coming to a joint conclusion with these brands and kind of adapting to what they need from a designer and what you can want to bring to the brand itself?
I think that if I had to give 100% of mine to working only with the industry, I would have killed myself right away. I'm juggling almost 50-50 between the industry and the art world, and I'm taking myself a lot of time to philosophize and to develop and produce also artwork, work with smaller galleries, smaller budgets, smaller entities, working with my hands actually, and balancing this whole chaos that is happening here.
It's a nice balance that allows you the time to think.
Not enough, because you know sometimes the project leads you and suck you in a very exciting way that you're putting aside something for a second and you forget about it. It's never really balanced, but as long as I have the possibilities, a little bit like Tel Aviv and Milano for me, I can escape every moment and change the complete atmosphere. So I'm quite happy. The day that I will feel that my hands are tied behind my back and I have only one possibility, it will be my last day.
So a lot of conceptualization, but also a degree of spontaneity and kind of being drawn to a project. Do you find your design comes from a place of spontaneity, of kind of instinctual need to create?
I think that there is no strict formula, and that each project comes from a different emotional or logical place. It depends who is my collaborator also. For instance, when you're working with the industry, you need to respect the DNA of the company, the history, the technical abilities, the language, to put it in the back of your mind, even if you want to create your own language. When you're working with a gallery or with a museum, you have a blank canvas. You're much more free to do whatever you want, clearly with smaller budgets and less possibilities when it comes to support of, you know, departments of engineering, etc., etc. But I really cannot say that there is one formula that follows each and every project.
And finally, to conclude, just a little touch on the table that you're releasing with Alias. Can you talk to us about it? And how does it reflect all that we've been talking about? How did you, what kind of conversation did you have with Alias to come up with this concept in the end? And how does it speak of yourself?
The table came before Alias, actually. It's an idea that I was developing for many years. And it's a question that I'm asking myself all the time, is what is a meeting point? What is a corner? What is an edge? And this concept led me to different type of typologies and different types of models, that one of them ended up to be a prototype for a table. And over there, the idea was, how can you eliminate the meeting point between three lines and still maintain the structure, the stability, the function? When I had it as a small model and some drawings on the computer and drawings by hand, I thought, who can be the perfect parent that will allow me to have sex with him in order to bring to life this baby? I was looking for a company that is less decorative, less home or domestic oriented, and a little bit more technical. And I always appreciated the work of Alberto Meda and the language that he developed with Alias. And I said, maybe they can fit. And, you know, it's a matter of, you know, going to the bar and looking at the eyes of the other and trying to attract him, and like in real life. And somehow I found a connection. They said, we will be happy to meet. We appreciate your work and we will be happy to meet with you. And I presented to them and they said, Ron, this is Alias. And that's how we reach to these kind of new relationships.
Amazing. And the result is a beautiful kind of transparent kind of paneled, but also very streamlined and kind of curved.
Yeah, it's from a first glimpse, it's the icon of a table that we all know and we all draw. The minute that you get closer and you see the detail and you understand that something is missing there, I think that that's where the magic starts. From certain angles, you just see a pure mirror. The minute you start to move, so you realize that something is going on there and it drags you inside it.
Monocle's Chiara Romella speaking to Ron Gilad there. From sofas for Vitra, an outdoor furniture set for Ketal, and a collection for Capellini, Jasper Morrison design delights were seemingly ubiquitous at this year's fair. Our roving reporter, Chiara Romella, caught up with the great designer to pose a few questions about the annual spectacle and how it's changed and where it's heading.
This is my 37th Salone. And if I rewind to the first one, there's no comparison. I mean, there was hardly any journalists. There certainly was no TV. There certainly was no radio, you know. It was just a few representatives from different countries. The very few magazines that were produced in those days concerned with interiors or architecture or furniture. Nearly no foreign designers, you know, it was all Italian. There were halls full of furniture for Arab countries, there were halls full of antiques, reproduction stuff, and I think there was one hall for the modern stuff. There were probably only like 30 companies doing it.
Would have been much more manageable then.
It was a bit easier, yeah.
When do you think the shift happened? What caused it? And I guess it would be interesting to ask, when was this last very big shift? And where do you think the next shift is going to come from? Geographically speaking, and also in terms of what kind of markets you're working into more. Is it more outdoors? There was a big push for outdoors maybe a couple of years ago. Do you think it's still the case? What are the areas I mean, obviously, we can see that there's Biennale Euro Cucina, so obviously kitchens are a big thing. Do you think it's just because it's a Biennale, or do you think there is actually an interest in exploring the kitchen world?
Well, it is for me, because I'm also launching a kitchen this year with a company called Schifini. One of the most difficult projects I've ever done.
How so?
It's hard to explain. I don't even really want to think about it, actually.
It's a traumatic experience.
It's not so bad, but the memory of the project was quite painful. It's really tough.
It's quite interesting.
Any chair any day.
I wanted to talk about something else, which I think often comes up in conversations about fashion and fast fashion and how designers are pressed, squeezed to produce and produce and produce and have this constant creativity on demand. I think design has increasingly got this characteristics as well. Do you think, can you feel it? Do you think fast design is approaching and designers like yourself or others are increasingly being called upon to just be constantly creative on demand?
Yeah. I mean, there's a lot of demand, that's for sure. I think there are far more than we can satisfy. But on the other hand, it's not like fashion, you know. If we agree to do a project and it isn't ready for the Salone, it's not a big deal, you know. We wait another year and we do it then. It's not this sort of pressure. We don't have that pressure.
But do you think it still does have an effect on the way that people work and work across many different brands? Do you think it pushes them to kind of try and adapt themselves to all these different projects at the same time? And does it mean that sometimes they lose the thread?
Well, yeah, on the other hand, I adapt a lot. You know, I that's one of my pleasures, is to work with different companies and kind of get what they are and try and design for them, for their identity as much as for mine. But it could be difficult, yeah, if you're working for too many companies, and especially if they're similar, you know, if they do similar things, then it gets very difficult, because it's hard to divide, you know, is it for them or is it for the other one?
That was Jasper Morrison speaking with Monocle's Chiara Romella last week at the 55th annual Salone del Mobile in Milan. That's it for this week's show. My very special thanks to our ever-patient editor, Holly Fisher, and our roving reporter, Chiara Romella. If you have any comments or queries, then feel free to drop our regular producer a note at hrs@monocle.com. And remember, we're back next week at the same time. You can always listen again or dip into our back catalogue at monocle.com, SoundCloud or iTunes, and do please feel free to leave us a review too. You've been listening to Section D. I'm Josh Fennett, and until next time, it's goodbye from me, and thanks for tuning in.